Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. This is episode number 273, and we're with you on a nice evening coming out of Lexington, Kentucky. This is Stephen Zimmer, and we're going to have a great show for you tonight. Tonight, my co-host is the one, the only, joining me right now, Daniel Dark, and RG Westerman had something come up on her side, so she will not be co-hosting tonight, but who knows, she might say hi in the chat room. But hi, Daniel, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. How's everything going up in the Lexington, Kentucky viewing area?
I'm here, I'm awake, and I'm ready to do the show, so that's a big plus coming off a weekend, you know, when you run a convention. So I felt like a truck ran over me, backed up, and then ran over me again. That's kind of how I felt Monday, and so right now I'm doing good to be here right now.
But you are alive, right?
Oh yes, I am. This is an actual me. This is not an AI unit, I promise. And we got a looks like we got some great folks joining us already in the chat room. We got Tommy B. Smith. Never know, might be hearing from him later in the show. Who knows? The great Carol Preflatish, and actually both of them were there last weekend at the physical version. And I saw some screenshots of you on the digital version. So yes, I know you got leased to participate on Sunday because I know you had a busy weekend the trolley before that.
Yeah, I spent about 20 something hours in the trolley in 2 days, so I could not make it up there for. Yeah, that third day, I thought about it seriously that morning, but I was just like, by the end of, by 10 o'clock at night, I was just like, I cannot drive all the way to Louisville and be functioning and then drive straight back and not, and not have a place to stay up there either. So
understood. Yeah. Well, we would have found room for you somewhere in our room. Yeah, we amid all the equipment that we had stored up on our level. So it was good though. I have good news. It was the best Imaginarium yet, most definitely. And the new venue was most certainly a hit. That's the good news. And really, pretty much all tonight's going to be good news.
The pictures that I saw from there were amazing.
Yeah,
The look of the place and stuff. So,
yeah, the new venue. Of course, everybody's acclimating to a new venue. The location of various rooms, and there's a certain settling in factor when you have a new convention site. So that a lot of people, Friday were kind of getting used to it. But honestly, I mean, it was it's everything that I had hoped it would be as a venue, and they actually had enough staff to do things well. And just overall a really great experience on that end. I mean, I got run ragged on Friday and Saturday, and it wasn't until Sunday that I finally got to go around and visit with some folks. I got to sit with actually Tommy for a while and Carol for a while and many others around the convention. And Sunday I finally got to spend time with everyone. It's like I say, I once I get past the awards banquet, that's when it starts to get a little less hectic on my end, and that's kind of how it worked out this time too. So it was an extremely extremely busy weekend, and had a turnout that I was extremely happy with, because coming off 2020, you didn't have any idea as far as whether people were going to come out or not, and I'm glad to say they did. And we sold evidently on Saturday night you could not get a hotel room because they literally did sell out. the entire hotel, and the banquet was completely sold out. And yeah, we did really, it was a good job on the physical event turnout. So good, it was good. It was really good. So yeah, we did break even, did not go in the hole. So you'd be glad to know that. What's that?
How did it feel not to be in a bombed out building?
We're going to have everything upgraded by next year. Then next year comes. No, they didn't get anything done. That's no fun. But yeah, this was not the case. And yeah, the rooms were great. The hotel rooms were great. And the food, I mean, the banquet, I was extremely happy. I mean, like I said, with the chef there. And I mean, just every aspect of it, it was top notch and what our attendees deserve. So I'm a happy camper there. And like I said, no evil surprises on invoice day on Monday. Like I said, we did break even, so didn't take any of those gut punches that I have in the past. So that's good news, and that definitely made me, have a little bit of a pressure valve, kind of release on Monday. But it's, it was good.
Like the one that you had a few years ago where – the hotel only had half the hotel, and they wanted to charge you more because you only sold out half the hotel.
Yep. You witnessed it firsthand. You saw what we deal with and what a misery that was. But this was definitely not a replay of that. And kudos to the Holiday Inn Louisville East. Definitely looking to stay there for 2022. I'll say that. And it looks like we got.
I know after this right here, if I'm headed to Louisville, I will be looking to stay in that hotel.
Yeah, you won't go wrong. It's a good place.
How well they treated Imaginarium there. So,
they sure did. And the bar, we kept the lounge happy and hopping. I mean, they were slammed in that lounge restaurant in the middle of it. the riders definitely kept the bar busy, to say the least. It was awesome. And let's see, we got Rob Hoff in the chat room tonight, and Sandy Lender has joined us, and looks like Trevor Hutcherson has joined us. And yeah, Trevor is one of our great staff at the convention. Of course, Sandy Lender winning an award, another award in the poetry category in the Imagines on the weekend, so that's awesome. Rob Hoff in literary fiction winning one, so we got some of our award winners. And Tommy did get presented with his 2020 literary fiction award, and that was awesome. So I was really happy to see that. So a lot of trophies being given out.
If any of the award winners that are in the chat room right now could, I would like to hear what their thoughts are on winning that award, because I was not able to hear it.
Yeah, I will relay that to you. The only Captain Crasher has joined us as well. Our super awesome Toastmaster, Tony Acree.
I'm talking about live on here, Stephen.
Yep.
I'm talking about calling in live.
Yep, we're going to get to that. And I'm going to definitely invite some folks to call in here. Tony Acree has joined us, Captain Crasher himself, great Toastmaster, super guy, Hydra Publications. They are just a awesome indie press, loads of imprints, and definitely been with us since the beginning, as Tony has, and fantastic. Good to see you, Tony, joining us tonight. So I guess we should probably make sure we get our sponsors in before we get yakking away too much. But tonight it's Sandy Lender, the awesome Sandy Lender, and then the folks at Jumpmaster Press, and those of you that came into the vendor hall definitely could not have missed Jumpmaster Press's display. That was nice. I mean, they did one heck of a nice booth display. And then Sandy was right there on the right, so yeah, you wouldn't have missed either of them in the main expo hall room. But first we're going to debut a new ad by Sandy Lender, and then we're going to give you some Jumpmaster Press. Here you go, Sandy.
Fantasy author Sandy Lender wants to take you on vacation. All you have to do is grab one of Sandy's many spec fiction titles and let her sweep you away. Get ready to cheer for strong heroines, multifaceted zombies, and, of course, all those fabulous dragons. Follow Sandy Lender on the Amazon platform to select your next summer vacation destination.
definitely check Sandy's works out. Yes, discover those space spiders and dragons and all the cool stuff she has. And now we're going to come over to you with a little bit of Gene Rowley and Kyle Hanna and Jumpmaster Press.
Do you love to read? Do you love sci-fi and fantasy and horror and mystery and maybe even romance? Then Jumpmaster Press has something for you. Jumpmaster Press would like to give you a 10% discount on our entire catalog. Just go to jumpmasterpress.com and use code IMAGINE2021 at checkout to save 10% on anything in our vast catalog. That's jumpmasterpress.com and IMAGINE2021 at checkout. Jumpmaster Press, a proud sponsor of the Star Chamber Podcast and Imaginarium 2021.
Yeah, Gene has such a good radio voice, doesn't he? He's fantastic. And while we had that ad on, the amazing Brian K. Morris entered the chat room. And, of course, Brian is burning it up on the podcasting and YouTubing with his Rising Tide Network. And definitely want to check that out, Brian K. Morris, on these streams, and has his show shown all over. Cord Cat, see it on YouTube and other outlets like Facebook and everything. Great, great guy. And yeah, we got quite a crowd tonight,
him,
Daniel, in the chat room.
Me and Brian
quite
had
a crowd.
A great panel on Sunday. So,
Definitely. He can't beat Brian. He's a great, what a personality. He's such a talented writer, and then he's so good on camera. I mean, yeah, if you got a virtual convention, a live convention, I mean, you can't fail with Brian. He's something else. And actually, on the way back, it was fun because I was listening to a couple of his episodes, was not watching them. Yes, Brian, I was actually focused on driving, so don't worry, I didn't get in trouble. But I had Holly turn on some of your shows, recent episodes, a few episodes of yours while we were driving back on Monday. Quite enjoyed them, and definitely while I was on fumes, on energy, it definitely helped me get home. So appreciate that very much. And hello to Scott Connolly joining us in the chat room as well. Scott was a first-time Imaginarium attendee this year with his wife April. Give a shout out to them both. Thank you for supporting us and coming out and discovering all the mayhem. Yeah, great guy who I've gotten to work with in the past on film projects that go back a ways. So but we definitely want to have a few folks call in if they are willing to. I know so some of those in the chat room may be itching to say a few words, but overall, Daniel, it was a great weekend. For me, it's always exhausting, to run one of these things, but most of the stuff I was dealing with was just smaller stuff. There weren't any giant fires to put out, and that's always a good sign. And the film festival, I think goes without saying, we had our best quality of official selections yet, and definitely the award winners are something to see. And so that side of it went well. We've also got reports that the folks in the gaming room were very busy, and they had a panel that was packed and had a lot of stuff going on in the gaming room. So that was happening. We had a live music on Friday night. We even got a good turnout for, really good turnout. So just starting to go down the list of what was happening, and it was excellent. So I'm going to bring on a caller right now, and here on the caller channel, you are live, and I'm just going to bring you on without even screening the call, because I think it may be Tommy, it may not be. We'll find out.
It might be, but then again, it might not be. We'll have to wait and
see. I saw the area code. But there could be other people that live in Fort Smith, so I can't assume, if I didn't remember the rest of the number. I knew it was your area code, but then again, there are other people in Fort Smith, so you never know.
Yeah, there are some other people.
Yeah, few.
I do believe there are a few more out here.
But you, sir, had an amazing weekend because you not only got your 2020 awards presentation and seemed to be very busy with panels and talking to folks in the Creatives Alley and all that, but you rounded it out with getting a Kentucky cat added to your family, named 13, and I do want the story on where the name comes from. So, tell us, Tommy.
Well, that comes from a few different directions. That's 13. That was something we had discussed on the ride back. Everyone knows, of course, that when we first got him, we had just gotten him. He had just been adopted. And Carrie, my wife, she brought 13 up there to visit the convention. And I've mentioned on social media that's the first time in history I've ever brought a kitten to a convention of any kind. So that was the first. But, you know, it was an awesome experience with so many to welcome him aboard. And he really enjoyed visiting with everyone, in particular everyone at the Per Bastet table. You know, Sarah, Marion Allen, Keely Harris were all, I mean, there's no mistaking the fact that they are very much cat people. And it was awesome to have them and everyone else and yourself, you know, welcome 13 aboard. But the name is somewhere along poking fun at the superstitions of, you know, he's a black cat, the superstitions behind the number 13. And also, if you remember the television show House, we were a big fan of when that was on. And there's a character 13 on the show House. It was actually a female character, but 13 is an androgynous term as a name that can apply to a male or a female kitty cat. So those are a few reasons that come to mind. It was sort of a lot of layers to why it ended up being that. You know, we found ourselves calling him that as we progressed on down the highway, and yeah, it stuck. So that's our Mr. 13.
I loved it I was on fumes on Sunday, but that was an honor to meet 13 up in the conference room where I was doing my computer work up there, and you brought 13 in, and we commemorated it with a photo to prove, you know, that I, yes, indeed, did meet 13. but you being a metalhead, I was wondering, because, you know, the final Black Sabbath studio album was 13, and then you also have the epic Anvil, and their documentary was centered around the making of the This Is 13 album, so who knows, you know. I didn't know exactly where the name might have come from.
Yes, we are Black Sabbath fans as well. So,
when we get to the 13th Imaginarium, you might have to bring 13 out to the show for a special commemoration, the whole cloud or even. But that would be a lot of fun.
It could happen. And did 13 get to meet any tuxedos while he's there?
No, they didn't actually get to meet this time.
No. my two were definitely they found it an adventure. They were just hyper all weekend, and of course cats, when they're put into a new space, I mean, it's definitely a little unsettling for them, so they tend to be a little more hyperactive and pacing. So yeah, my two were just bolting around up on our level, and it would have been just mayhem to bring them down on the convention floor. So yeah, they stayed upstairs, but they made it through. Yeah, Vicky and Albie did, but that was awesome. Meeting 13.
I'm waiting to see Tommy with his whole kitty collection on leashes, like lions and everything, out in front of him as he's walking down the street.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't surprise me if Tommy had lions. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I already have the three, not the three lions, but I have the three cats, and you know, they're already. Now there's a number four, so
nice.
Yeah, it could happen.
Yeah, but blow them up and everything, have them on little leashes and everything, blow them up and make Tommy a little bit smaller, like he's walking lions down the street.
Well, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised to see Tommy walking lions down the street, but But looking ahead a little bit, I was talking to Sarah and everybody at Per Bastet, and we were actually talking about the idea that I mentioned on your thread of next year having a rescue center or adoption agency come out and do something at Imaginarium with cats, and especially since we're in a venue that allowed pets in the rooms. So I think that would be awesome to have do something in conjunction with that, and of course they would fit perfectly with Per Bastet theme, obviously. So that would be awesome. So Yes, Tommy, yep, it's in the works. I just need to get my brain back.
That's an excellent idea. It was actually on the thread. I think it was Cassandra Morgan who mentioned that idea, and then you chimed in that it was something along those lines was already in the works. So she's enthusiastic about it as well, and I know many of us are. You know, I'm going to be. So, yeah, definitely. I say bring it on.
Yeah, I was going to talk to Cassandra. I want to clarify that. I wasn't, like, trying to be secretive. But after the convention weekend, the last thing I want to bug any staff people are new things for 2022. That's, like, the last thing you want to talk to anybody about. You know, I don't definitely want to give them time to recover.
Yeah, you're still
reflecting on
the old things, and you're throwing new things in already. Yes.
Or getting your brain back, like in my case. It's like, oh, my God. I was coming into the weekend already on fumes, and obviously, it was a bit of a gauntlet run on my end. But it's great to have some early inspiration for some additional new things. We already have some new things planned for 2022, but it's cool to come up with that new wrinkle that was inspired by you and 13, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, that's so you've got a connection to whatever happens next year, like it or not. but we did get to at least finally deliver. It took us a year, but we finally got to give you your trophy.
Well, COVID-19 and all that. Everyone knows how that went.
And this year's literary fiction award winner, Rob Hoff, and you. Yeah, we got a photo of you both. So yeah, that was awesome to see on Twitter. I saw that posted up there. I think Rob posted it, but great to see the two of you. Posing for a picture of 2020-2021 award winners in the same category. That's awesome.
Yes, and it turns out. Oh, yes, absolutely. It's a pleasure to share that award with Rob. And we actually had a panel on literary fiction this weekend, and also Michael Williams was on that. So they had the three of us, and that's an excellent discussion. And both of those guys are very knowledgeable in their craft, of course.
Yourself included, that's a killer panel. Yeah, absolutely. Rob is, there's never a dull moment with Rob Hoff. I mean, he's always fun to be around and fascinating. And so, he's got so many cool little interests and little anecdotes he can add to a discussion. So, of course, Michael Williams, being the professor, he's got a real academic kind of vibe from his edge. And so, that's a cool mix to have you, Rob, and Michael in particular on a panel together. That's cool. And panels were I heard nothing but good about them. I mean, from attendees, including first-time attendees. That was the cool thing that I heard back was from people that were there for the very first time and are like, oh, this is such a unique event. This is so different. This is, this is amazing. And they said this is more than what they expected. And, it was really cool to kind of see the first-time attendees really getting what it's about. And, I hope you also, observed some of that too, because I definitely did, even the limited time I had down on the floor.
Everything I observed and everything I heard from everyone was overwhelmingly positive. I could tell in my personal experiences, in the panels that I participated in, it was always a pleasant and informative experience. There was a lot of magical discussion that happened. A lot of people came away from it with something, and I always appreciate if I can walk away with it, with something perhaps I didn't have before, something perhaps I didn't know before, perhaps a new perspective on something. It's always a pleasure to share, creative insights between all of us. We're all such individuals. We've all walked such individual creative paths, and, the panels, there have been some excellent discussions. When I first got there, speaking of new people, there was a fellow I spoke with before my first panel, and Craig, and he had mentioned it was his first time going to Imaginarium. And I don't remember. He may have said it was his first convention, but don't quote me on that. But so we went straight into the panel, and the first panel was it was Sandy Linder and myself, and it was actually only the two of us. But we had such an audience. I mean, we had so many people show up for that panel and so much audience participation. I mean, it was just phenomenal. It was just an excellent, rock-solid first panel to begin the whole show with. So right away it kicked off with kind of a bang, at least for us, for Sandy and I know. And from there on, as I said, every panel, I had a lot of very interesting panels throughout the weekend. Also, I had that same day, Friday, I had the Gateways to Horror panel. And Rob and I were on that one as well. And Don Guillory and Laurel Hightower, James Zapata, and Brett Marlin were all on that one. And that was streaming. that was actually recorded in streaming. And that was a really interesting panel. And, of course, you know, many people know much of what I write is horror, not exclusively, but much of it. And so it was a pleasure to be able to talk about horror films and books and such with all of these excellent people. We had a good discussion. Really, every discussion was a good discussion all throughout that day and the rest of the weekend. So,
yeah, I knew Donald Guillory and James Zapata. Yeah, James Zapata and Donald Guillory and Laura Hightower, I knew they were going to be just awesome in energy and everything because I had been, you know, of course, I have to, you know, survey all of our social media platforms and everything as we're, you know, promoting this. And, I've seen them, like, constantly on Twitter and things like that and just talking about the show and getting ready for it. And so I knew their energy was going to be great coming in. And James did win. He was another Imagine Award winner. Last weekend, he won the horror category. Congratulations! If you're listening, James, yes, he is such a nice, cool guy. Donald is as well, and Laura, yeah, great to have them because all three this is our first time participating as panelists, and they were definitely hit at the convention. And like I told them, you're part of the Imaginarium family now. So, they'll be coming back, Tommy. They'll be coming back.
Well, good. That would be excellent.
Yeah,
good time was had by all.
Yeah, it was good. It's interesting, just all the little different levels of what people can get out of it. And for me, it's rewarding, you know, going into that last day and then talking to first time attendees. And then also people have been coming for years and the kind of feedback that I was getting. And that was very, very nice. And the expo hall this year, you mentioned the streaming, that was a new thing we did this year. David Sheridan, who's just like just an ace on our staff. He set up a streaming rig and we actually were able to stream a number of panels. We also streamed the awards banquet and some other things onto the virtual platform as they were taking place live. So that was a cool introduction. We weren't feeling like we should try to tackle them all in every slot. We want to test that out this year. And I'm happy to say that, we didn't have any big tech fails on that. It definitely worked. And I think it was a good test run for doing more streaming next time. And then, of course, the other new wrinkle, Tommy, as you know, was we did the Creative's Alley. So we popped out, you know, tables into the atrium area of the hotel itself because we were the only event happening in the hotel. It was all us. So that was a bit of a new wrinkle. And you know, we had your, you know, standard expo hall, but we also popped it out. And I think that added a little more energy as well to it and definitely gave people, you know, more to explore. And, of course, you as a vendor as well, I mean, I guess you could talk to that a little bit.
Well, I do think the venue was a step up. Before, I had heard some had sort of nicknamed that one the Overlook. that was walking a couple of miles from one end to the other, and you'd better not get lost or take a wrong turn. And this one was a step up venue-wise. And so those were some of the, you know, some of the complaints that came from the previous shows. And those are gone now because this new venue is completely lays all of that to rest. And I mean, as far as I'm not going to speak exactly to what sort of book sales I have, but I will say that it was higher than other Imaginariums in the past. So there was more activity.
And Tommy,
so on that front,
you could
that was good. Yep.
you could confirm that both times that I sat with you, you sold books. Both times that I sat with you, you sold books, proving that when I visit, you know, I can help somebody raise book sales, right?
Steve Zimmer goes, good things happen.
Yes,
that is actually true, everyone. I can actually confirm that.
Yeah, I was chuckling about that because, both times I visited you, we managed to see book sales occur while I was stopping by.
Somehow that did happen. Yes.
So that was cool. But, yeah, I can neither confirm nor deny that, I might have had, some little magic to drop by there. But you never know. but yeah, man, it was good to see you out there. And, definitely the there's a real reunion feel, I guess. That was something I noticed, too. There was a real it was like a collective sigh of relief, and that's what I saw. That this is for many of us. It was our first live event in quite some time. Some people have been doing a few live events coming up to it. Cassandra, I know, did PenguinCon and a few other things, and Wayne, she and Wayne had done that. But yeah, there, and that's a great event too up in Ohio. We hadn't, and many others hadn't, and I noticed that, there was definitely a camaraderie reunion kind of atmosphere that was really happening this year, and that combined with, I think, the new quality venue site really took it into second gear right in first day.
Yes, well, I haven't seen everybody and done a convention with everybody in 2 years now.
It has been a long time. Yes,
it's been a long time.
And it has affected my creativity, not being able to be around creatives on a regular basis. That's, when you're not able to be around other creatives and stuff, it can affect your creativity.
Now, Daniel, you participated in some of the virtual programming, am I right?
Yeah, I did some of the virtual, but that's not the same, really, Tommy, as being able to be there with, like me and you sitting down talking, having a good conversation, everything about what we're working on and stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely. I prefer the those events where we can all come back together and really speak, have a real conversation face-to-face, but I guess the hybrid is useful for, those situations in which some can't. It's the next best alternative, but yes, hopefully next year all of us can get back together. But I know there are those people across the pond and such that live at great distances, and perhaps it's more inconvenient for them. And so that virtual end of it, at least they get to participate in some fashion. So that gives everyone a chance to participate.
I was able to participate in some, in a few virtual panels and stuff like that, which it was great for me. But, I'm a, people person in a way, and not being able to see all my family and stuff, it was, hard on me this year, not being able to be there. Even though I was around a bunch of people and everything, it wasn't the same.
Right.
Well, I guess we'll just have to do another Imaginarium, Daniel. I guess we'll just have to do another one next year, just for you.
I suggest next week. Let's just plan it next week.
Yeah, sure. Sounds fantastic. No, I think I'll be laying low for a few days, kind of regrouping. But it was worth
sure.
it.
Well,
absolutely. Getting beat up was worth it this year. Other years I felt kicked in the gut a little bit at the end, but yeah, this one was worth it. It was nice. Nice to not come out of there with getting socked on the taking the financial hit at the end and then seeing all the positivity. Yeah, so that was nice, just to be candid. But but yeah, I'll probably give it at least a few weeks before we do another one.
Okay, I'll give you 2 weeks off.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I got to give time for Tony to reprint all the Hydra promotional material because now he has to put award-winning author Rob Hoff on all the Hydra promotions now. So I have to give Tony some time to redo all his promo material. See, yes, Rob Hoff, you're a winner. Oh, I was driving him nuts with that on Sunday. Tommy probably observed me harassing Rob with that on Sunday. But the virtual.
Yes,
hassling the Hoff. That's what we do. But we, you know, we do like the virtual. It has its place. It brings in a lot of people that, you know, cannot be there physically. So it adds to the discussion, brings in more international participation, which is great because that gives us other insights and other, you know, people from other backgrounds and also other markets that can give us insights into, you know, markets in the UK or Australia or maybe even Canada. And that's good for the convention to have that kind of participation. So I think it is a very good thing. And then the cool thing is those of you that are listening tonight that are did access the virtual, you've still got 4 weeks to explore every bit of content that took place. I mean, those videos and everything that panels and everything that took place are actually up on the site now, and you can browse back through and watch them again if you missed one or you know there's one you wanted to still see for the next 4 weeks. So it's really cool.
I've got a question while you're talking about that, Stephen. What movies are a must see from the Imaginarium?
Well, I would have to say that of the movies are out there. The one that just absolutely kind of swept the awards, as they say, is Koreatown Ghost Story. It's a short film, but let me read the list of what it won. It won Best Plot, Best Screenplay, Best Cinematography, Best Editing, and Best Directing, and then it also won, of course, Best Short Film. So, yeah, that one really swept the film festival this year. It's Koreatown Ghost Story, and also a multi-award winner was Sudden Death, and also winning more than one award was The Misadventures of Ichabod Crane. Both of those are short stories, short films, and The Misadventures of Ichabod Crane had one of our virtual panelists, Jonathan Kruk, involved with that one, and Sudden Death was filmed by Sylvia Wolf Bush, who, you know, he does great work on the film side. And those are some to see. Also, Snorri, S-N-O-R-R-I-E, also won multiple awards. So, and yeah, I mean, this year we were really selective with the official selections. And, yeah, we did not, we really made sure that, you know, what was in the field was top-notch to begin with. And so I don't think you could go wrong with anything. Yeah, some great documentaries, like actually one related to the pandemic, Lockdown, Emotional Impact of COVID-19 and Quarantine. Real good documentary on what we all just went through, and that's in there. And yeah, just a great group of films in that. But those were some of the ones that just really did well awards wise so if you want a few recommendations.
Great.
Yeah,
thank you.
Very good weekend for sure on that. And congrats to, of course, all the winners. And I was really happy to see a lot, you know, in the past, in the early Imaginariums, it was always a little bit debilitating to have all these awards announced and be excited about the awards, but you'd only have, like, very few people that were actually there to receive them. This year was really cool because we had a large number of the award winners were physically present, and that was definitely another step forward, I think. And it was fun to see all the reactions in person, the people getting their awards. Half the awards that were left over were from the team at Koreatown Ghost Story, but we actually gave out most of the rest. So it was really cool. And I enjoy that because I get handed the list about an hour and a half before the awards happen. And, you know, and I of course, enter it into my list for myself to get the trophies and for Tony, you know, as MC. But I'm finding about those real close to the actual event. So, yeah, it's really fun to kind of get that list and see who's on it and see who made it. It's pretty cool. I enjoy that.
I heard that a young lady now has about 5 awards under her belt.
Well, there's a few out there. I know that Amy McCorkle won some more, and of course Sandy Lender won last year, won this year, and then so we've got a few that have been cleaning up on awards and being pretty consistent about that. So yeah, but and I know Amy got she got about four or five, I think.
Oh, it's highly entertaining watching Amy McCorkle try to make it into the elevator with an arm full of awards, trying not to drop an award.
Oh, she won't miss an award. She makes sure they all get
that's
back.
That's a nice problem to have, I suppose.
Yeah, that's awesome. And our staff awards, I have a great time issuing those. We take a lot of thought into giving those out. And, yeah, some are done to honor people like the Sizemore, you know, honoring Jason Sizemore of Apex Publications. That one went to Jumpmaster Press this year. And then we also, of course, had the NOST, which is for, big-hearted, mutually supportive authors or creatives or film, anybody that, you know, through the year that we, you know, think that really is a win-win sort of person with a big heart who really supports the creative community and, you know, that type of person. And yeah, actually Rob Hoff won that. So yeah, I knew Rob was going to win that earlier than I knew he was going to win the literary award. So it was kind of cool. I was like, I knew he was going to be an award winner early, but but it's cool to see him get the book award. And I'm sure that's the one he really was excited about. But I know, but the NOST is in honor, of course, the great Michael NOST, who's near and dear to us, definitely the part of the core Imaginarium family for sure. So, but we got another caller here, and I'm going to go ahead and bring this caller in live since just Daniel and I are co-hosting Tommy. So we're going to take a risk here to area code 859, which is from my neck of the woods. That's Kentucky area code. Yes, caller, you are on.
Well, sometimes the risk is worth more than the reward. Oh, no. But speaking of the NOST, here I am, the award winner. That actually... the cap.
You're a winner.
Right there. But I tell you what, there needs to be one added. You need to figure out how to make a little a penny farthing with somebody that looks like the Dark One on top, and he needs to show up next year at this place because it is the perfect place for a penny farthing drag race. So
it is.
The Dark One would be perfect.
It actually would be. Are you thinking just great straight corridor that goes all the way around?
Oh man, yeah, you got the whole. Yeah. You could land a small plane in that thing down by the steps.
Yeah.
I saw John Pica had the Hot Wheels going down, laid the track down there, and I think Matthew Smith was filming it. But that was a great place. You guys did a great job, and I wanted to just chime in a little bit about that because. You know, it was done so well, and everybody had a lot of fun. I think the people that were there to learned a lot. They got to interact with all, you know, different kinds of creatives, which was good for them, good for us. I mean, I did 7 panels. That's more than I've ever done, and I gained a lot. I heard Lee Pennington say, you know, he learned more from his students than they learned from him, and you kind of first think like, I don't know about that, but after you do that and you start talking with them and stuff, it's pretty true. So, but I just wanted to chime in a little bit there, fellas, and let you know that, you know, I think that was a great time had by all. Oh, but I do want to just add one thing. As soon as I landed back, I got one day off, and then the gal Lily Sage, who did the audio for my Cosmic Egg Rapture, Dropboxes me Serpent Egg Rapture for the audio, so I'm listening to that now, and I'll have that out, you know, before much longer to Hydra Publications for them to, you know, get together what they need to do. But I'm going to peace out, and I'll be on the chat here and listen up to you. I don't want to hog the airline here, okay?
You got it, Rob Hoff, and great to see you in Books and Bourbon, too. Enjoyed seeing you there,
right.
Too.
Good seeing you, Rob.
Yeah. Hey, it was good to be seen, you know what I'm saying? All right.
You're a winner. Take care.
Take care.
Oh, he already knows I'm going to be merciless with him on that. But he had a good time at Books and Bourbon. And I will say that, the other panelists.
Just about to say, unfortunately, it worked out that I missed Books and Bourbon. So perhaps you fellows could, or you, Stephen, could fill me in on
It went well. It was streamed. We had a lot of people watch on the stream, and we actually got some great questions over the live stream for the panel. But I'd say the heart of it was definitely F. Paul Wilson was having a blast. I mean, he had a blast on that. And he got from the convention, we gave him a gift of a single barrel Knob Creek as a little gift for him. And he was not at the opening ceremony, so I gave it to him before the panel. And, of course, yeah, you definitely could tell he was really happy about that. And then a reader came up to him right after me. I did not see what type of bourbon it was, but it gave him a full bottle of bourbon. So F. Paul Wilson was scoring some good stuff. And, of course, Michael Nost is there next to him. And we had James Fox and Stephen Shrewsbury and Carmen Shoemaker and Barbara Evers. And it was cool because, yeah, she won Imagine Award for Best Fantasy in the Imagine Awards. And it was cool. And I'm going to tell her later, she had her first ever sip of Kentucky bourbon on that panel. She'd never had it before. She's from South Carolina. And then then the next night she wins an award. So what does that tell you, Tommy? Not a coincidence, I'm sure, that she drinks her first bourbon and then wins an award the next day. Good things happen, right? That was fun.
Next year I will be there to take back over my position on that panel.
You're going to talk.
Yeah, that was the only thing missing this year, I'm sure.
You might have to co-host that one because, Nas just fell in love with this. Oh, my God, he was having a ball. And we actually got stuck there about an hour after that panel got done. And it was almost a two-hour panel. So, I was there. That's why I never did get to make it up to check out the Per Bostet food spread that night, which just killed me because they had everything I love at their room party thing that they had going on that night. But it was a great time. We had fun, and we have a 502 area code, Tommy. So I'm going to bring another guest in. So 502 is, of course, the Louisville area, and we'll find out who this is here in just a moment. 502, you are live.
502 in the house.
Captain Crasher, Tony Acree. How's it going?
Tony. I'm like, you don't see the name, so just before the award ceremony goes on, and I'm always amazed that I get at least half of them correct.
No, it's not easy. It is not easy. Yeah, we get them right before everything hits, and quite a few awards, staff awards, film awards, Imagine Awards. I mean, it's not a small list. And of course, not easy all the time to with pronunciations, because some of them will throw a curveball at you. But, Tony, you handle it masterfully as always. And, you've been with us since the beginning and took over Toastmaster year two. And, you were as always, a big hit. And your authors won awards and everything. So you had a good weekend.
I think you just give me a microphone so you know where I'm at. But to have for future awards, we need to have a few Bill Smiths, Jane, Days. We need to have a few of those people submit for awards. So I'm not looking at it going, toss up. we'll get it.
Nice.
Done, fun. And, first show. Go ahead.
Yep. Oh, well, I was going to say, also, I want to congratulate you on your addition onto the board of directors for Louisville Literary Arts. I was hoping you'd call in because I want to give you that congratulations on the air. Very cool.
Yes,
very cool.
As well.
One of the topics of conversations is the Imaginarium, where we're going to try to find a way to hook them in, because it makes no sense for them not to be a part of Imaginarium in some shape or form.
We'll facilitate that. We'll facilitate everything with that. Yeah, cause we love to work with literary groups for sure, and this is an exciting group. And I noticed that some others that are Imaginarium alumni are on the board too, like Lana Helm. I saw was on there. Irv Klein is the president, and Vin Morreale's on there. And he's come as a guest speaker to an ISA Third Thursday with us in Lexington. And good group you got there. So we're all open arms.
Yeah, they've got some great people on board, and it's going to be a lot of fun, finding my spot there, kind of like Imaginarium. I just got to find my niche, and then just I am. It's just get to work. So, But thanks to you and Holly, we had a great time. For Hydra, it's like a, if people keep saying this, but it's like a family reunion. You know, our writers come in and out and, you know, spend parts of the weekend and attend the panel. So it's, and, you know, when you see Daniel, you're not being there this year. That was not nearly as much fun. But when you see Tommy and you see, you know, all the wonderful people that, you know, Per Bastet and, you know, Michael Noss and, you know, James O. Barnes and, you know, all the great people year after year, it is a family reunion.
Oh, definitely. And Tony, and I saw you had one of your authors show up, Richard Knack, Richard A. Knack. Excellent author. I remember reading his books back in the 90s, so it was a pleasure to chat with him and share a panel with him as well at the tail end of the weekend. So.
Well, that was going to be my next thing, is Richard Knack. Of course, he's one of our top fantasy writers. He's written for Dragonlance, you know, World of Warcraft, Diablo, he writes the Rex Dracona series. This is the first time I'd met him, was at Imaginarium. And I'm going to be with him again. We had such a good time. I'm going to go join his table and event just south of St. Louis this coming Saturday. Yes, so Richard's a fabulous guy. He was a good one for y'all to have come out.
Yeah, that was awesome myself because Richard is definitely also with me, also an author that I've read extensively, you know, during, you know, many throughout the years and, you know, so many great franchises and original stuff and, you know, just a great guy. And I loved, yeah, just had such a cool vibe and he was our last interaction was fun because we were talking to him and some friends of his outside the convention on Sunday evening. And yeah, he said, Holly joked with him and said, she goes, I'm going to have to twist your arm to come back next year. He goes, we really enjoyed having you. And he looked at her and smiled and says, you won't have to twist it very hard. So that was good news.
Well, a little behind the scenes info is funny because I've been out of the fantasy game for a while. I used to read it a lot when I was younger, but I've been more a mystery thriller guy. And when I had a chance to sign him, I called Stuart Thaman, one of our other fabulous fantasy writers. He said, Stuart, I got a chance to sign Richard Knack. I know he's done a lot. What do you think? He goes, well, I'm looking at six of his books that are on the shelf right above my computer. You even have to ask? And it was like, I guess not. And we're just thrilled to have him, you know, as part of the publishing house. So, you know, and of course, you had Lee Pennington out for a lot of different things. He was one of the guests that came out. And, of course, you know, we've got Songs of Bloody Harlan, which is edging closer to reality being financed. So it's been a fun time. Now, kind of like Rob Hall, I don't want to take up a lot of time. I want to make room for other callers, so I just wanted to say, hey,
you're
thanks
good.
A lot.
And you got a trophy, Tony. You got your trophy too. That's why I had to do the early ones, the 2020 people, because you were on that list. So you finally got your physical trophy.
And I did. It's already on a shelf, and it's like, you know,
cool.
When you can expand your, you know, as writers, that's the other great thing about Imaginarium. People need to understand. You know, I came in as a novelist, and now I've won an award as a screenwriter because a lot of the things I learned at Imaginarium made it easier for me to write screenplays. You know, I had the help of Sarah Gardner on my first one, but then when you've had so many great screenwriters come in the last years, and the accessibility of being able to bug them and say, hey, you know, let me ask you about this. And they're always so gracious for their time. So, you know, if you want to hone your craft, Imaginarium is the place that you need to be.
Yeah. I have to say,
it is good for that. Definitely.
Yeah.
And even you have to owe me another $5 so for that ad. So.
All right. You got it, Tony. Thanks. You're
you
awesome.
Later.
Be good, right. Man. Take care. Oh man, Tony, always such an uplift to see Tony, man. I was thrilled, yeah, to give him a big hug and get to see him again, and that was awesome. And yes, chat room there, yeah, we got some good banter going on with Sarah and Sandy Lender and all them talking about how Kenzie's always in the category that has had books like anthologies with Neil Gaiman in them, you know, winning Imagine Awards. So Kenzie says that Neil, if he wants to win an Imagine Award, he has to attend Imaginarium. I don't object to that idea. That would definitely help the convention. So I think we could.
Yes, you're right.
We could.
Yeah, she told me and others over the course of the convention, beat out by Neil Gaiman again. You know. and suggested that you ban Neil Gaiman from.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing, you know. I mean, like I said, when you're a cat, it is. But yeah, maybe next year she can do an entry in a category that does not have Neil Gaiman. And that might be just to help a little bit. But oh my God, yeah. If we ban Neil Gaiman, yeah, that would be interesting press we would get, I'm sure. So that's what they say, right? You know.
Undoubtedly.
Now, all publicity all publicity is good, right? I don't know if I agree with that, but
well, that's what they say.
Yeah, that's what they say. But oh, it's too funny.
Well, Kenzie Michael says, Steven, it is as if I want to be an award-winning author.
Yeah, yes. Oh, that's too funny.
It is. Right.
Too funny. But
I have one question for you, Stephen. Did you get a chance to set up what the dates are for the 2022?
We've tentatively got them, but we just have to get the definite. And I'm always hesitant to say anything definitively until I have a something in an email or something that I can show I'm that type. I'm a little cautious. So, yeah, we tentatively do, and it will be in the same time zone of the year. So, yes, about the same time, next year. And forthcoming, we will get those dates. I would say they'll be announced before the end of this month. We'll go ahead and at least release the dates just so people can at least put them on the calendar. We love this time of year.
I want them ASAP so I can go ahead and block out for Imaginarium next year, so yep. I do not miss it like I did this year.
Yep, that's the first order of business. I think our venue is happy with us because of the amount of hotel rooms that were rented. So it's like, I think they're gonna confirm pretty soon. Let's hope, but I don't see any problems with it. But yeah, we're going to be in the same time of the year because we don't want to be in the middle of the big, huge Comic-Cons that come in September and October to our region. I mean, there's definitely a lot of big stuff that hits about then, and we don't want to be kind of in that maelstrom of huge events. So for us, this is a good time of the year to be in. And I think that also was made apparent past weekend. So, it kind of puts us a little bit at the beginning of the real big convention season. And that's a good place to be for us.
Well, it was actually excellent timing this time because many events are still doing virtual. There were only a couple of events that have come back, but many people are venturing back out and have been vaccinated for COVID and what have you. And, people are venturing out of their homes once again, and many people have been isolated for so long. It's taken its toll on them, and so many are ready to get back out, and especially when it comes to the creative side of things and getting out and mingling with others face-to-face again. So that's something a lot of people needed, psychologically, I would say.
I saw that everywhere, Tommy. People were expressing that everywhere I went all weekend. And also, I think that, it was very apparent to me that Imaginarium is an oasis that really brings together people of all perspectives, backgrounds, political views, everything. I mean, it's definitely brings together a wide and diverse range of participants and in a very positive way where everybody is in harmony. And it's not common in today's world. And I think that is awesome about what the Imaginarium atmosphere has. It shows that people can get along. We should be a clinic for the rest of the world or rest of the country, right? So, yeah.
And that always makes me feel good when I see that.
Yeah,
definitely. And all of us having escaped from the curse of 2020 into 2021, this is something that's good for everyone, I would say.
Yeah.
Long story short. So.
Yeah, but you had to. I know you had a little bit of adventure going home. Sorry to hear that, Tommy. But on your vehicle,
yes.
it's good to hear that you made it back.
Yeah. Well, that was a bit of a mess. The final day was back up to Saturday. We actually there's a longstanding Imaginarium tradition, which actually came about in the very first Imaginarium. We had a fire alarm in this hotel, in the new hotel, which actually does have fire alarms, though, so that's a good thing. Because if there is an actual fire or a semblance of a fire, we all know about it.
Right.
We got our second
incident this time because we were doing the Imaginarium ball, and I was sitting over there at the table on the far side of the room, just sitting back having a bourbon, enjoying, you know, just watching everybody dance and have fun and listening to the music, and all of a sudden I saw all this fog go out there, and I guess the DJ's fog machine, they set it off in there, and next thing I know, yep, fire alarms. Yeah, we're going off.
Rob says,
I was like, oh, my God. I was getting flashbacks to year one of Imaginarium with the famous fire alarm beginning. And that was interesting because I was like, oh, God, we're going to get hit with some kind of – because they definitely could blame it on us because it was the fog machine.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I thought we were going to get socked with a little fee because they actually have that in the contract. But that's a sign that they like us because they did not, in fact, charge that fee to us. So
that's
a fraction for – Yes. So when they do those sort of things, it's a little indicator that they really did like you. So, but I was going, oh, man. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And, Keith and I, the DJ, and I talked to them right afterwards and stuff. It was not entirely funny while it was happening, but I can laugh about it now.
Yes, we actually were all driven out into the hallway, and I see Carol Preflatish and a couple of others, and Molly Daniels was out there as well. And it worked out that shortly after that, you know, I shared some Imperial Porter and Riderly Chit Chat with Carol Preflatish. So that particular beverage ended up being more like an IPA than anything resembling a drinkable beverage. So sorry about that, Carol. But I did gain a bit of inside info on her Nathan Perry mystery series, which I shall not divulge. That is not my place to do so. But I can tell you the girl is going to some very interesting places with her mystery series. So everyone be on the lookout.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, and she just announced today that she's, was working on polishing the third installment, getting that ready for handing over for the editing phase and publishing phase. And I saw on her picture on Twitter, I believe she had a bag of M&Ms, and I think it was a bottle of Diet Pepsi. But, yeah, so it looked like she was well supplied and ready to write, so that's good news. And looks like we got some more guests in the chat room tonight. It is hopping in the chat room. We've got Matt Lation. Yes, the Lation Nation, the founder of Lation Nation is represented. Yes, good to see you, Matt, in the chat room, and thank you for participating on the virtual side. Of course, always good to see you in person, but so glad you got to at least participate in the virtual side and getting some of those conversations. And, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good to see you. Good to see you. So, yeah, well, hopefully the Lation Nation will be represented. We'll get them back here next year. but yeah, it's a – yeah, Carol is full guns blazing on the third installment. Yeah, so go for it, Carol. You're ready.
It sounds quite interesting. And like I said, I'm not going to divulge anything, but it's not my place to do so. But that sounds like a book that I'm going to have to – at some point. So I actually read the first book and I fell behind a bit. I haven't read the second one, but I actually just snagged it on digital, so that way I'll be ready when the third one comes out. But it does sound definitely
nice,
like something interesting.
Yeah.
And it's not just a mystery. Not just a mystery. It sounds like
she's a great writer.
There's quite a bit more to it. So
yep. Well, we'll be finding out soon on our end, so that'll be – I can't wait to explore it. That's going to be awesome. But great writer. Totally recommend her series. And, yeah, she was doing good on the book sales from what I heard from her this weekend. So that is always a great thing to hear. Yeah, I heard that from several people, that they actually had very good weekends on the book front, so sales front.
Excellent.
So, yeah, because that's something I've wanted to really see grow is the vendor sales. And I think that's the, you know, I think that is starting to tick up, and I hope that at least by next year, everybody's going to be awash in sales. Hopefully we'll get that kind of tip the scales and get the crowd in there that gets the sales across the board good for everybody. But yeah, going to be awesome. We got a lot to look forward to. A lot of these riders, because I was looking online and so many of the pennies were like talking about, yeah, they figured out their first kickoff sentences or their new projects. And they were, it was almost like a battery is recharged kind of scenario. Yeah, there are a lot of riders that were talking in the same vein as Carol. You know, they were diving right back into stuff immediately this week and creatively. So that's something I've also noticed coming off the weekend. And I, yeah, in my few forays online while I've been resting up, is that I do see a lot of folks that seem to, you know, have gotten a second wind creatively. Yeah, I see that a lot.
It seems to me every year it's been good for that. That is the one thing that you can always come to Imaginarium and recharge your creative batteries. And you can wade back out into our, turbulent world. And once again, you're prepared. You're geared up to give it your all and dive right back in your creative projects, and despite the odds against you, you know, and certain odds hedged against us, but there's strength in numbers as well. So when all of us get together, we assemble that creative magic, and when we have our discussions and share our ideas and conversation, I think we realize that. I think we realize that our true potential, you know, collectively and individually. So it's always a pleasure to do these events, and that's why we keep coming back.
This has definitely been a family. Every beer is a core family, and it keeps growing, and that's been a good thing to see. And definitely the hiccup in 2020 with only being able to do virtual, I'm glad we got to do the virtual, don't get me wrong, but 2020, but definitely miss the in-person. Definitely miss that. There's definitely a unique dynamic to being there, face-to-face with people. And that was a big plus, even though I had a lot of hats to wear this weekend. It was awesome. So, but looking in the chat room, there, having some good banter with Matt and Kenzie and Sarah and Rob. It's a very active chat room tonight, Tommy. Just making sure I don't miss too much, miss any important questions or anything. Scrolling through a little bit there, but next year, we're definitely going to have some new additions, and then we're going to keep, most of the core of what we do is always. So that information, we'll start putting that out right away when we announce 2022 dates. You can definitely count on some really cool stuff, coming up. And if you do, don't mind, folks, write me testimonials. Those help a lot. They'll have to be more than like a few sentences, a paragraph or whatnot. But you can send those in to the Imaginarium Facebook page. You can private message me with them, or you can email them to info@entertheimaginarium.com. info@entertheimaginarium.com. But just however you want to send them in, we can always use, short testimonials, to let folks that have not been yet to kind of get a sense of the vibe and what it's about. So, I want to do a little appeal for that, because I'll probably be posting about that the next day or two. But giving you all a heads up, that would definitely be awesome. And, the cosplay, we had that again this year, Tommy. And I don't know if you saw, Daniel probably didn't see it, because I don't think the costume contest was live streamed. But we had the debut of Imaginarium coins. And to boost the dealer room, because we're always looking for ways to do that, we're giving away in the prize packages, they're 3D printed, but then they were painted with metallic paint, gold, and they have they're real cool coins. You got like the Imaginarium logo on them and everything, raised 3D printed coins. But they, like the gold were like $25 a gold coin, silver was like $10 a coin, and then bronze like five, so it worked like cash, so people could actually take them and spend them in the vendor hall. And then, of course, the vendors can just bring us the coins, and we give them whatever the denomination is on there. So, that yeah, the vendors get cash. You know, they don't take home just the Imaginarium tokens. But yeah, it was kind of a new thing we did for the prizes in the cosplay. And hopefully that's going to be something that we can develop further to drive more sales into the vendor hall, but for people to, you know, get more stuff in there. But the cosplay contest was cool. We had some Morgan Hazelwood ended up winning the cosplay first place. So congratulations to Morgan. But that was fun to see that again too. And I think I mentioned gaming earlier, but yeah, we got lots of good reports there. They had a panel that was packed out, and then they had a couple of panels that were packed out, and then they had they said a very active gaming kind of vibe going on there all weekend long. So yeah, the all sectors, I mean, I heard positive things of the convention, and so I don't know if you got to explore some of those areas like gaming and all, but that went over well too.
Were you able to kick off the crypto like we were talking about?
Well, we have it. We accept it. But, you know, we only got approved by BitPay to accept it like a few weeks before Imaginarium 2021. So it was not something that was really going to factor in, you know, in a bigger way for this year. But it definitely is a cool thing and definitely helps get the word about Imaginarium out there because it is something unique and different. So not that, you know, a lot of people will necessarily use that, but a lot of the followings of various cryptocurrencies know are creative people. They are. They're game developers. They are writers. Filmmakers are also big into the crypto. A lot of artistic types are very big into the crypto scene. And so it does, in an odd way, actually help us promote the convention and get the word out there. You know, when you say you accept Dogecoin or something, you got a lot of folks that love Dogecoin also happen to be creatives, and it does get the word out there. And I did see, there are some people that discovered the event, and I think a few did attend the virtual event that found out about us because of those that sector, that kind of post and promotion. So yeah, it does help get the word out. So that's good.
I know you said that the guy that started Doge actually tweeted out about it. So
yes. Yeah. He said he replied to me. He was like, awesome. And he had two, you know, little fire symbol emojis right next to it. He was really seemed to be very pleased that we as a convention were willing to accept the payments, or at least offer that as an option for attendees and stuff. So yeah, it's fun. And I know it's a crazy world. And if you catch the Star Chamber show that we had where we talked about that recently, that was we had a fun discussion. I think it was the night that maybe it was the night that Sarah was going to be calling in. Her one right near to there. Sarah Marion was like right that night or the week after. So one of those we had,
that was one me and you talked about it. Because
that's it. That's
somebody,
it.
Somebody was about an hour late calling in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the credit for those coins, by the way, goes out to Matthew Smith and John Foley. They're two great 3D printing artists. Matthew actually won his very first filmmaking award. He won Best Music Video category, and really, really good job on it. And I'm not a judge, but I did get the chance to check out that one, and I can say, yeah, I agree with the judges. It was a superb music video, and so he was now a award-winning filmmaker, which is great to see. And he was actually shooting some kind of project he was doing this weekend, getting footage around the convention, and it's going to be cool to see what he puts together. But he actually, Matthew Smith of Appalachian Ghost Productions, was behind. He and my friend John Bill Foley were behind the Imaginarium coins. And hopefully those will become a big thing. You know, what'll be funny, though, is if, you know, people actually don't spend them but keep them to collect them. It's like, no, please do spend them because we want you to support the vendors, and that's why we're giving them out as tokens, you know. Yeah, we want you to go in and use them. So hopefully people will, not just keep them as collector's items. But who knows, you know. You know how collectibles go, Tommy.
So these Imaginarium coins, so this is something that can be used from year to year. Is that the case?
Yeah, yeah, we'd honor them. I mean, people come back and want to use them. Yeah, but I
never did.
I have a hunch that the ones that weren't used this year, I think people are actually saving them as like souvenirs. Really do.
All right. They are cool.
They look cool. They look really cool. They look metallic. You know, they're really really nice looking. Yeah, we don't have the kind of budget to do full cast coins yet, though. So yeah, they're 3D printed, but yeah, we're not that fancy yet, folks. But yeah, to actually have actual gold and silver coins, but who knows? maybe one day at Imaginarium 50 or something like that. So, but coming up about 15 minutes left in the show. So, let's see. I'm trying to look in the chat room. Anything that you all would like us to give response to? Anything question wise about this past weekend event? Any questions you have about it, or observations? And Tommy, yeah, it goes for you too. Yeah, Daniel, anything we haven't covered? Because I think we've basically given an overview at this point of how everything went, but I wanted to make sure we don't forget anything.
I kind of like the idea that Sarah and Marianne just posted that I don't know if this is something that you would want to do in the future down the line, but the coins are so cool. I didn't know about that or I might have entered. And she says maybe you could do souvenir coins too that are different from the spendable ones. So
yeah,
just a thought
yeah.
for the future. That would be interesting.
Yeah, we'll do some comparative ones. Then we'd have to backtrack and do some 2021 ones, print up some
well,
just so that
they don't
you know
have
we could
solid gold. Although that would be wonderful if they were, but
yeah, because we have that kind of budget for sure.
That's
how we roll.
You're willing to do the coins that they're willing to pay for them, right?
What's that?
You're willing to do the coins if they're willing to pay for them.
Oh, yeah, sure. They want to pay for him. Yeah. But, yeah, Imaginarium does not have the budget to cast in solid gold and silver. Just saying. It's like we're not quite there yet. We're not Dragon Con level or Comic Con. I wouldn't want to be that big anyway, though. You know, we like to, you know, get bigger, but not that big. Yeah, we want to always keep it intimate and have the camaraderie and that kind of atmosphere. So, yeah, don't want to get that giant. So,
well, we have a Rob Hoff is saying he mentions to Dave Sheridan about doing more panel streams, and is that possible?
Yes, and that's actually something we are definitely looking at doing this year. David has plans to after this weekend doing the test runs. He's taken all the things that he noticed back to the workshop with him, and he has actually got ideas on certain things he wants to change and upgrade on his streaming setup so that next year we'll be able to do a lot more in terms of streaming, more panel streams and things like that. So yeah, that's definitely in the plans. And yes, if you're on the virtual, Rob, yes, you can access the streamed panels. Yeah, those were, you know, all part of Excel Events content, so those can be accessed like Gateways to Horror. Yeah, that is on there. And so yes, yeah, there will be more streaming in the future, and we're, you know, Ben David has already told me that yeah, he's got a good game plan for enhancing and upgrading his streaming platform even more. So that is cool. So
yes,
yeah,
Sarah
said
Sarah Marion's comment. Yes.
I'm going to have to start behaving more professionally on panels if you're going to record and stream them all.
Well, sorry, Marianne, that means I have to start behaving more professionally as well. So,
yeah, we'll suddenly have everybody behaving quite professionally, I guess. But I think you all do already. I mean, but it's a fun, you know, we still have fun too. And so good. Like for instance, Stephen Shrewsbury, he's a perfect example both being entertaining and professional. he's both. I had a blast seeing him again. And behave more professionally. Count me out. Oh, don't worry, Brian. You can still be Brian. But, no, I wouldn't want our panelists to to be any other way than you are already. I mean, we already get plenty of feedback that the panels are professional and of high quality, so we're not worried about that. It just means that you'll have more audience viewing you.
You know what? More so than ever this time around as well.
Yeah, you think? Give us your thoughts. Give us your thoughts on that, Tommy.
Well, that's just what I had heard. The one fellow, and I don't know. His name was Michael, and I don't know exactly, but he came down to chat with us a bit down on the floor, and he said that more of the panels seemed more informative and, I suppose, professionally presented than ever before. So that was a thought from him. As I said, most of the feedback on the programming, or all of it, actually, this time around has been positive. But that was one comment that he had made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I did what, hear some what, of that.
Was it Michael Noss that told you that? Or
no, this was not Michael
no.
Noss. I actually know. This was a fellow. People were calling him Michael, but I actually don't. I'm not sure what his last name is. He looks familiar to me. He may have been at previous Imaginariums, but he's not someone I knew really well. I know Michael Knox.
I'm going to go on a limb here, Tommy.
The came down
I
on
believe,
Sunday and sat down with us in the vendor room.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's Michael Hodges because he did come by to say hi to you
right.
when I was sitting
right.
with you. And he is a previous attendee, and I am grateful to him because he brought me some 18-year-old Glenfiddich on the night we had Books and Bourbon. He gave me a glass of that. He was just carrying around the bottle of that and shared some of it with me.
He was talking about scotch. He was talking about scotch, so odds are that is him.
Yeah. He was carrying a bottle of like 18-year Glenfiddich. It was awesome. And, Carol also agrees. She thinks it was Michael Hodges. I do. Yeah, because that sounds like what he was kind of commenting to me about, too. Very, very similar. So I bet it's him. I bet it's him. But, he was extremely happy with the quality of the panels and workshops. So that's always a big plus. Because I always thought that was one of our core strengths before. So when you hear that your core strength is, received even better, you can't beat that. So that's awesome. And now Sarah says, I need a friend that brings me good scotch. Oh, yeah.
We'll make friends with Michael Hodges. And there you go.
Yeah, Michael Hodges is who you need to be friends, Sarah. He carries around quality scotch. I can vouch for that. And so coming up on about 7.5 minutes. So questions for the audience. Anything you want to cover, Tommy or Daniel?
So I'll just return right quick to what you had mentioned about the vehicle issues. We got that sorted out. That was just an annoying post-con, detail that we had to sort out, but in the end we got up and running and got back and got all of that sorted out. I remember you had mentioned it earlier and I sort of backtracked, but yes, we're home now. But yes, that was
good
sports. And we got there.
I heard you got delayed
home,
a day before you got back to
day, but...
as I call it, your Fort Smith, because it's named after you, I'm assuming. So Fort Smith.
Oh, obviously, yes, of course.
Yeah. So, which I think is just what a cool thing.
Terry and I think, in 13 made it back here safe and sound. And I'd mentioned in the chat, but I'll mention here as well on the air that 13 really enjoyed spending time with everyone, and in particular visiting with the Purpose Stat Table, Marion Allen, Sarah Marion, and T. Lee Harris. He much enjoyed that. So. He may want to come out and see you guys again sometime. So,
Well, at least our venue, you can bring cats too. So it's possible. So it's some good news. Yeah, which I took full advantage of with Victoria and Albert. Yeah, they had a road trip with us and were quite rambunctious. So I definitely enjoyed having them there, even though they were a little bit out of sorts for a day or two. Yeah, doing their little pacing around the perimeter kind of routine, getting the feel for things. But, yeah, we were on the seventh floor, so they loved those windows because they got to have the seventh floor view. So, yeah, they were kind of like, whoa, you know, this is Cat TV on steroids. Yeah, they definitely enjoyed that quite a bit. Yeah, they definitely camped out in those windows quite a bit. And did not cause as much of a mess as I thought they would. So I'm really proud of them. They're getting a little mature, even though they're still just barely over two. So, but yeah, we will make sure you get to meet them, Sarah. Don't worry. Yeah, we'll make sure sometime very soon you get to meet those two. But yeah, they had a good time. But they're glad to be back. I can tell you that. They're both of them have been hanging out with me as I broadcast tonight, as a matter of fact. So I think they wanted to hear the full review since they were there. So they've been with me actually during the whole broadcast. Yeah, it's awesome. So Sandy says that she might bring a parrot in attendance next year. Because she didn't realize until late that you could bring four-legged or feathered family members. So that's awesome. And yes, Fireball Whiskey, Dr. Pepper. We call it a fire pepper. That's from Tony Acree in the chat room. I love it. Yeah, we'll have to definitely check that combo out too, because it sounds pretty good actually. So awesome. But yeah, it was a good time and a lot of work. Definitely a gauntlet leading up to it. You know, the point where I was coming in on fumes even before it began, and Friday and Saturday were definitely full of activity for me. But yeah, Sunday got to kind of cruise a little bit during the last few hours, and it was a very positive end. And like I said, without getting the punch in the gut from the venue bill on Monday, that made it all the better. So you could, I personally, I'll definitely call it a good year for sure. And no question, it was the best of the 8 years. Yeah, without question. So happy about that, and happy that, I'm seeing so many responses about new friendships, connections, and people starting new projects and being inspired to start new projects, and the conversations people were having. That's what it's about. And that's the heart of it. So I'll call it a win for sure.
Absolutely. So we're all glad for that, because you've done this out of your pocket for so many years. People don't realize how much money you've spent personally to make sure that these events go on.
Oh, yeah, I've gotten in a lot of trouble. Yeah, definitely taking a lot of hits. Yeah, putting me in some bad spots, it's neither here nor there. You know, it's part of the road and what you have to do, you know, sometimes, and a lot of sacrifice. But, yeah, it's nice to at least get to the point where, you're not sliding in that direction further. That's a good thing. And I'll definitely drink a bourbon to that. But, yeah, it's been a passion project and definitely a grassroots built thing. So really, really cool to see where it's at right now. Yeah, I think we got a great core staff. I think we got a great family of Imaginists, and that's what we are going to be calling all of our attendees and participants and staff, everybody. We're the Imaginists, which is one who uses their imagination. That's the official dictionary definition, but it fits our gang very well. So, but yeah, definitely a great group. And yeah, thank you all for participating and coming and being a part of it. Yeah, because it was definitely a good year. So I'll turn it over to you, Tommy B, to make final comments, and then Daniel, you can take us out. But I will see you all next Wednesday, when we're going to have the fellow that does our intro music, the wonderful Pete Fry, is going to be stopping in to visit with us. So get ready for a great show next week. But Tommy, take it over, and then Daniel, you can round it out. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Well, as I said, it's been a pleasure. The imagination is powerful, and the future is wide open.
And, Tommy, I appreciate you being on here with us tonight, and I'm sorry that I missed everybody this last weekend, but we're going to try to not let that happen again.
but we've had a great recap of what happened this weekend. Hopefully that the people that are listening to this, you know, understand what the Imaginarium is now and how important it is to you being a creative. Until we get talk next week, this is Daniel Dark signing off.